Ava never meant to cause trouble. It was always something that seemed to happen when she was around. Her mother used to tell her she just needed to think about making better decisions, but Ava was beginning to wonder if she even knew what that meant, because why else would she let Shane Mannix walk her home from the party? There were pockets of space so thick, not even light itself could escape. Places that pulled everything toward their singular path of destruction. That was what Shane felt like, the empty void of space, and Ava was a lone ship teetering on the brink of him. Shane pressed something into her hand, and when he pulled back, Ava wasn't entirely sure where she was. Shane grinned as he backed down the street. "I leave in 3 days, Ava Castor. It would be a pity not to see you before then." Ava unfolded the paper as he disappeared into the night. A comm number. She crumpled it in her fist and turned down her street. Calling Shane would be a risk, but to go as far as meeting him again? Definitely not a good decision. Well, Ava thought, when have I ever been known to make those? That's a quote from Made of Stars by Jenna Voris. This is YA Book Chat, and I'm your host, Leah Stuhler.
Hey guys, my name's Abby, and I co-host the Book Life podcast with my best friend, Mo. We cover fantasy, sci-fi, and historical fiction books, and talk book-related topics like our favorite character types, world building, and books versus their movies. New episodes drop every Monday on your favorite platform. Now, back to your show.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of YA Book Chat. As always, thank you so much for being here and for listening and your continued support. Today, we are going to be chatting about the book Made of Stars by Jenna Voris, which just came out in March of this year and is a fantastic read that is inspired by Bonnie and Clyde, but it takes place in outer space. So it's a very interesting read. And joining me today, I have my friends Abby and Mo from the Book Life podcast. Hey guys, welcome.
Start waving. I'm like, I don't know why I should start waving. Like, hey. And I'm like, oh yeah. I know how to virtual chat to people.
Mo, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about your podcast that you and Abby host?
Yeah. So if you guys have listened before, we have been guests on Leah's podcast, and our podcast is called The Book Life. And essentially, Abby and I just really enjoy reading books together. And then we discuss the books we have read together. Our primary genres we discuss are going to be fantasy, sci-fi, some historical fiction, some fiction. But most of the time, our podcasts are just going to be a non-spoiler half and then a spoiler half. And we tell you about the characters, what we like, what we didn't like, have a small discussion around it. And sometimes we like to do what we call listicles, where we have a great one coming out about dragons I'm really excited about. Or comparing books to different types of food is one of our main genres, or doing book games. So we're just kind of all over the place. But really, is a podcast for book lovers who love to talk about books and listen to other people talk about books.
It's perfect. That's perfect, because that's what we all like to do, you know?
Right.
Talk about books. I mean, who doesn't? Speaking of, also, because we did, well, I know, Abby, we did the Aurora cycle together. A friend of mine just messaged me today, and she said she's listening to the audiobooks about it, and that the narrator for Cat does her as Australian. Like with an Australian accent. I didn't picture Kat as Australian. Did you? Did I miss that?
I listened to the audiobooks. So like that didn't even faze me because I got so used to that voice for Kat. But yeah, it's very much an Australian accent for Kat.
It's interesting because I don't remember like when I was reading it thinking, oh, I bet she's Australian. I don't know. But the book is written by two Australian authors. So makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense.
So have you guys, either one of you guys read Gideon the Ninth at all?
No.
So that author is a Kiwi. She's from New Zealand. And so the book is set in outer space, but they give everyone a Kiwi accent. It was a trip. So I'm like, oh man, I'm like Australian accents. I had trouble. I couldn't follow the, I don't know why. I don't do well following a non-American or non-English accent.
You know, it just occurred to me what would be a really fun premise for a book. So, you know, all the Australia memes, like Australia is just nuts, right?
Yes. It's going to kill you.
I want a planet that's space Australia.
That would be hilarious. I would love that. I would read that book. Murderbot.
I know. I believe Murderbot has been there before.
Yeah, but I want like the setting to specifically be space Australia.
Okay. Okay.
All right. We should have somebody write that. Not me though.
We should.
Yeah.
Anybody else listening is welcome to, and just let me know. I will gladly read it. I will buy your book and read it.
All right. That sounds good. All right. Well, speaking of space things, this book actually takes place in outer space as well, which is really fun. So let's get started chatting about this. So again, this is Made of Stars by Jenna Voris, and it was published in March of this year. And it is a story that is inspired by Bonnie and Clyde's story, but it takes place in outer space. So I'm going to give you all a spoiler-free plot overview in order to get started. And just as a reminder for everyone, or if this is your first time listening to the podcast, we will do like the first 15-ish minutes of our conversation spoiler-free, and then we will dive into a spoiler section, and I will give y'all a warning before we get there. All right. So here's our plot overview. Shane and Ava are a team. He steals the aircraft, she charms their mark, and together they take what they need. Not even their distracting chemistry could get in the way, until Shane was caught and left to rot on a prison moon. Now, freshly escaped from confinement and simmering with anger, he has his sights set on their biggest job yet. Cyrus just graduated from the Flight Academy with a shiny new position lined up, reporting to a well-respected general. On his very first assignment, he stops the outlaws in their tracks. Or he would have if his annoyingly handsome co-pilot, Lark, hadn't fallen for Ava's deception. But when Shane uncovers a top-secret plot that would leave his and Ava's home world at the mercy of Cyrus's military leaders, he makes it his mission to thwart them at all costs. It isn't long before the two of them make interstellar headlines with each new heist. And thanks to a chance run-in with the rebels, Cyrus is caught between two versions of the truth. He must pick a side, and fast, because Shane and Ava will bring this planet to its knees or die trying. When I was emailed by Viking, and they sent me this description. I was like, that is a really interesting description for a book, like super fun, Bonnie and Clyde in outer space. And like, I love sci-fi books, and I've always kind of like been, I guess, interested in Bonnie and Clyde and their story for some reason. So I was like, well, this is a win-win combination for me. So let's give it a try. So, and I did really enjoy it, but what did you guys think about the book? Whoever wants to go first.
I did enjoy it for the most part. For me personally, there were a couple parts that felt like they dragged, and that kind of like brought my rating down a bit, but it was still overall a very enjoyable book, and I would recommend it, especially for the ending. But it also made me realize that I don't know nearly as much about Bonnie and Clyde as I thought I did.
Okay. Jumping right into that, I was sitting reading the book, and I was like, I'm like, were Bonnie and Clyde Robin Hood characters? Did I miss that memo? Mm-hmm. And so I did not go research anything, but I'm sitting here reading the book, and I'm like, is everything I knew about Bonnie and Clyde not what I knew? And I'm like, maybe. And so I had an internal crisis questioning my memory as well. And I'm like, is this what 34 is, where you can't remember what you learned in high school?
No. Well, and it's funny that you said that because about Robin Hood, because I literally wrote down in my notes, sci-fi meets Bonnie and Clyde meets Robin Hood. So
I definitely enjoyed that extra Robin Hood aspect. I was like, okay.
Yeah, because Bonnie and Clyde like just committed all these crimes and things just because they could, right? But at least Shane and Ava have motivation behind it and like give back to their families and the people on the planet that where they're from. So, you know, they've got like some good behind it. It's inspired by Bonnie and Clyde. There is a lot of Bonnie and Clyde things that are in this book, which we will talk about because I have a huge list of them, you guys. Like there were things that I remembered learning about Bonnie and Clyde But then I was like, you know what? I'm going to do some extra research and just double check myself. And then I was like, oh, yeah. Okay. So all this other stuff relates to Bonnie and Clyde that's in the book too, which is really fun. So
yeah, I was definitely surprised by the Robin Hood twist to it because, so like in my mind, Bonnie and Clyde are just like, it's a romance that ended in disaster as far as I'm concerned. And so like, I was just expecting the YA version of that and to see like lots of crimes up close and in person and just like following them on their escapades. And I'm like, oh, they're doing it for a like good reason. They're not just doing it because they can. Huh. Okay, then.
Surprise.
I was definitely expecting like a wild romance, like a wild bad guy romance, if mm-hmm. that makes sense.
It does.
Not the Robin Hood thing.
Well, but I think that because it is YA, it almost, I mean, it doesn't have to, but with YA, it would make more sense if it did have that like Robin Hood aspect to it. Because for a YA, they need to have more of a motivation for why they're doing the things that they're doing instead of just like, we're bad people and we can rob and kill people just because, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, Bonnie and Clyde were gangsters. They were gangsters, you know? And so like, I think for YA, we kind of have to have a little bit more of a motivation behind it.
And it brought some more feel good aspects too, because when I read the description, I was like, Bonnie and Clyde in space. I'm like, okay, we're going to read about like doing some heists and, you know, we have like that good initial, a few good heists going on. I'm like, oh my God, okay. I got this. And I'm like, wait, I got some Robin Hood. I'm like, I like this too. Definitely YA, which I did.
Yeah. And I think it's fun that she did do a story inspired by Bonnie and Clyde because for a long time, like, you know, they were talked about a lot and, you know, learned about them in school, but I don't really think that they teach kids about them in school very much anymore. And which is, I mean, it's fine. They're part of history though. And that gangster era when John Dillinger was also around and a big gangster. And there were like, you know, there were books written about Bonnie and Clyde. There've been multiple movies about Bonnie and Clyde. There's a Broadway musical about Bonnie and Clyde. Like, so there's been a lot, but I think that probably a lot of like teens and young adults today don't know as much about them. And so it's kind of a fun way to introduce their story to a new generation of people. And I just said that and it made me feel really old because I just said that. Oh my gosh, you guys.
It's okay. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. When you use the phrase like new generation of people, yeah, you know, you're old. Okay.
Okay. You're just admitting that there are generations coming after you and that's okay.
Okay, good. We're going to go with that one. I did just have a birthday. So it guys, cause I'm on like the cusp of that. I'm still in this, like, I don't know. It just hit me. Plus then I did, a storytelling unit with my eighth graders for like our last unit of study. And I had them do like ghost stories. And one of the ghost stories that they did, I mean, some of them have been around since, you know, I was a lot younger. And one of them, I remember discovering, and I've talked about it on here before with Bethany, when she's been on here, because she was also traumatized by this ghost story. Like we both were traumatically traumatized by this story. And so like, it just made me feel old because I was like, I read this story when I was like 8 years old and it's traumatized me ever since. My students are like, what? I'm like, yeah, okay, I know, but it's fine. It's fine. Just still in that frame of mind. Anyways, moving on past Leah's age issues. So So anyway, there's a lot of like really great connections. Some of them, like I said, I had to do research and just kind of, some of them were like obvious, like this is the Bonnie and Clyde part, but some of them I had to dig for, which is great though. So I really enjoyed it overall as well. It's like, actually what I really like too, I don't know, I want to see what you guys thought about this, was how they had flashbacks. So like, you know, we start present day, but then we get flashbacks to when Ava and Shane first meet and kind of a little bit of like how they got together before where we are in the present day. Did you guys enjoy that?
I did. I really liked Ava's, I guess you can call it backstory, her origin story, how she started, you know, I want to say getting with Shane, but I'm trying to think like not partnering with him, but you know, like he's that elusive stranger at, you know, and she's like, oh, I just, what is this? You know, and she's just curious because she's not satisfied. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just, I mean, it's a theme we see a lot in young adult novels where you want to get out. You don't want to just settle. You want to see the world before you're stuck. And I think she embodied that for sure. And she found the out in Shane. Mm-hmm. She found the non-safe route.
Well, I mean, he's the bad boy, right? Come on. Who of us has not at some point embraced and gone after the bad boy? I mean, it's like a requirement, you know, at some point in your life, you got to do it.
I'm not going to lie. When we started getting the flashbacks, and we got that flashback of them first meeting, like I was getting the heebie-jeebies because I was like, this is a bad idea, Ava. This is a bad idea, Ava. And then I'm like, okay, Abby, stop. You can't go mom about this. This is a YA romance. She's going to go with him. It's Bonnie and Clyde. It's okay. I'm like, like I had to talk myself down because all of my senses were going, this is a bad idea. This is such a bad idea. Don't do it.
I am telling you, right? Like once you become a mom and you have kids, some of these books does take on a different perspective and you do that. Like, okay, I'm not going to lie, you guys. I don't know if I've ever said this before on this podcast, although I might have when I covered this book, but The Hunger Games. Okay. The Hunger Games is fantastic, right? But let me tell you something. When somebody first told me about them, I think like I had just had my first kid. And so I was like, what? I can't read a book about children being forced to kill each other. Like there's no way I can't. And I'm never going to watch a movie about this. It took a long time as a mom to like push past that and then eventually read it and watch the movies. And now I have devoured them all, loved them, and I'm super excited for the new movie about the prequel book that's coming out in November. So, but yeah, I totally do the same thing, Abby. I'm like, no. And I've like turned off my mom brain.
So I read a book called Blood Scion a couple months ago, and my baby is only 6 months old now. So he was like 4 months old when I'm reading it. I have not read a book that triggering in years.
Aww.
Like it's got a lot of triggers in it anyways. For anyone who's thinking of reading it, it's got a ton of triggers. Pay attention because there are warnings in the beginning. Mm. But like I was even more triggered than I should have been because like of all the hormones from just of having had a baby and being a mom on top of that. And just like, oh my Lord, it had me questioning everything about the dystopian YA genre and why it's a genre. And like, do the youth see me as some horrible person who could turn on them and put them in an arena and make them fight each other to the death? Like, is that how they see me?
Oh God.
I had a little like existential crisis about the whole genre and my part in it. And like my place in it, going, I'm not the plucky teen hero anymore. I would be one of the evil, like I would either be the useless parent who ends up dead probably, or I would be one of like the evil dictators who's making children kill each other. And I'm like, I don't like either of those options.
Quote from you. I am no longer the plucky teenager. No friend. We are now the adult.
I don't want to be the adults in that genre. They're terrible. Yeah.
It is. The adults are always terrible. That's fine. We're just gonna, Okay, so there is a point, though, in the story when we have one of the flashbacks where he gives her, you know, like he gives her his phone number when they first meet. And, you know, tells her how much like he would want her on her crew and on his crew. And this is not a spoiler, you guys, by the way, in case you're like, we haven't gotten there yet. It's fine. And she's thinking about like, if she should call him, and she knows, like she said, it says definitely not a good decision, but when have I ever been known to make those? So she knows it's a bad idea too, but she still does it.
I appreciated that she at least like admitted to herself that this is a bad choice and I'm going to make it anyways. I'm like, as long as you're owning it, that's fine.
Don't we all do that sometimes?
Yeah.
I said sometimes. That's funny. It's probably a lot of times. And especially, sorry, but teenagers and young adults, like I did, we all make bad decisions at that age. Knowingly. All right. Any other final thoughts here, spoiler free, before we move on to the spoiler section?
Have you heard the song Partners in Crime by Set It Off?
I don't think so.
Okay. When I think of Bonnie and Clyde, I always think of that song because it's literally about this duo who's like been doing heists and everything. Like, it's a story song. They talk about all these heists and stuff that they've done, and now they're doing one last one and they get caught by the cops, and like there's a shootout at the end, and the chorus is all about how them like going down together. It's a really intense song, and that's always what I think of when I think of Bonnie and Clyde.
Is it about Bonnie and Clyde? Like, I'm looking for it right now because it sounds like
I think it's based on Bonnie and Clyde. I don't know if it's specifically about Bonnie and Clyde.
Let's see. It is. Well, it says the song tells a Bonnie and Clyde style story of young lovers who embark on a life of crime. So similar, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of based on Bonnie and Clyde, but not specifically them.
Right. I'll have to listen to it and check it out.
Mm-hmm. It's All a good right. song. It's a really good song.
Okay. All right. Mo, any last thoughts?
No, I've had to stop myself a few times and I'm like, but nope. So that means I need to play where I don't have to censor myself.
Okay. Well, censorship over then. All right. Let's head into the spoiler section. So if you have not yet read Made of Stars by Jenna Voris, then this is where you would stop listening if you don't want anything spoiled, and then come back after you've read the book to listen to the rest of the episode. Or, of course, if you have read the book or you don't care about spoilers, then please continue listening as we head into our spoiler section. All right, you have been warned. Okay, so I do want to talk about like all the Bonnie and Clyde stuff to start us off. And that'll kind of like get us into some of the plot points as well. Yeah, so like we said, like Bonnie and Clyde, okay, everybody knows they were gangsters. They met. Now, here's the thing. They met through a mutual friend at a mutual friend's house, which is how Ava and Shane meet as well, because Ava's friend drags her to go to this party, and that's where she meets Shane. And it was like the same type of thing for how Bonnie and Clyde first met. So they met that way. We know Bonnie and Clyde, like we said, they robbed all kinds of places, and they murdered people. But again, they were gangsters who just did the stuff. But Ava and Shane do it to help their families and the people who live in the province where they're from on their planet. So they're sad at least. Okay, let's see. So we have Clyde went to prison in 1930 and then escaped. Shane, at the start of our book, is in prison, and then Ava comes and breaks him out. So there's that connection. There was actually like a couple of times when Clyde was in prison. I couldn't keep up. I was like, wait, what? When did he go and when did he break out? And then did he get arrested again and then go back? Like, it was a little bit confusing. But he did. I think the main thing is that like he broke out and is, you know, escaped from prison, just like, and then Shane does in this book. And they talked about how, like when I was looking this up, how Clyde was really negatively affected by his time in prison and what happened to him there. And so we see that with Shane in this book, because Shane is like nightmares and he's constantly thinking about, you know, like, you're not going back, you're not going back. And he has to like reassure himself, and Ava has to reassure him too, which is a really big deal. Cause I know, you know, obviously I don't know what it's like in prison, but I can imagine it could be very traumatic. So, you know, kind of how that
goes. Definitely seemed to have some PTSD from his time in there.
Oh yeah. A lot. Like, he talks about it a lot. He has nightmares about it. Cause Ava's like constantly trying to reassure him and like, you're not going to go back there again. And even the other guy who's in their band, their group of merry men.
Jared?
Yes. Thank you, Jared.
Let's try. Oh, like, there's Jared, there's Aries, there's, and well, Henry. Yeah. Poor Henry.
We don't like Henry. It's fine.
It's fine. Out the airlock he went. It's all good.
It's, yeah. I do have to say, though, like, when Ava comes to get Shane, like when her and Jared break him out, the first thing that he says to her is like, you got this kind of ship, whatever it was, like a cruiser or something. She's like, hey, at least I broke you out of prison. And you're complaining about the kind of ship that I stole? A cruiser.
A cruiser. Or like a Lincoln, or maybe the Lincoln was like a different one. I don't know.
I was just
like, he's very picky about his escape vehicles, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so here's another connection too, because Shane and Ava are constantly stealing and like, you know, switching to different ships. And Clyde was like arrested and stole different cars multiple times. So cars, spaceships, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Things that go, that's the theme.
Yes. So here was something that I didn't know. Okay, well, I knew how Bonnie and Clyde died, right? I think we all know this, because they were in the car driving. They were going to see their family. And so this is where that part of our story comes from with Shane and Ava, because Shane and Ava, even though like they're out on the run and they're doing all these things, always like go back to their home planet to check on their families and check in with them and stay with them. And Bonnie and Clyde did the same thing. They would go back and check in with their families. And so when they were, so like the police, you know, figured that out, that their itinerary, you know, kind of centered around like their family visits, they were able to like figure out, okay, well, eventually they're going to go back and see their families again. And so we're going to ambush them. Here's what I didn't know about their ambush. There were 112 bullet holes in their car. 112.
Yeah, I remember there was an obscene amount of bullet holes. I remember that from, pretty sure I watched a history special on Bonnie and Clyde at one point in my life. And I just remember, you know how like sometimes images stick in your mind? One of those, just sitting on the couch watching a very heavy non-tube TV, but a flat screen projection TV. And you just see that old time picture of them hanging out of the car, Bonnie and Clyde, that is, and just a car riddled with holes. Mm-hmm. And you're like, holy smokes. And you guys are going to show this on TV in the afternoon on the History Channel to, you know, me, the young, impressionable 13-year-old who's like, let's watch history at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I watched Toonami. I went from Dragon Ball Z and whatever else was on Toonami straight into 5 p.m. I went into like my history stuff, and then I got booted off the TV by 6 o'clock. So, you know,
hey,
that's how I rolled. Pretty brutal. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Like the ambush used the classic gun with the barrel, like, you know, the gangster gun.
I don't remember what it's called, but I know what you're talking about.
Not the Gatling gun, but kind of like a Gatling gun.
We're Googling this now because we have to know what it's called. I don't, the Tommy gun, the machine? I don't Tommy know. Gun. It's a Tommy gun. Okay.
Yeah, the Tommy gun.
Tommy gun.
Yes. That's what they use. They lined themselves, the cops, up on each road and just went zzz, and just.
Okay. So I was looking. So when I read that, and I was like, okay, 112 bullets. So let me go back and look in the book to see how this compares. So when Shane and Ava get trapped by the Opians, okay, it says that there were, so you have the dreadnought ship, and then there's like the Opian Falcons that are there as well, okay, 12 different weapon systems locked and pointed in their direction. You think about that, right? You watch. Now, as I was reading this, okay, anytime I read a sci-fi book like this, unless like my brain always flips between like Star Wars and Star Trek as I try and create this visual in my head of what the spaceships that they're flying in look like, because I've seen both. So I'm always like, what? But either way, when you think about sci-fi with either one of those things, right? And how, you know, they always have these like massive weapon systems. Like, it's not like one gun that shoots one laser beam, you know, like it's always these like crazy weapon systems with lots of crazy firepower. So while it's like 12 weapon systems, 12 doesn't sound like a lot, but that's really going to do a huge amount of damage, kind of like 112 bullet holes in the car.
I'm not going to lie. When I was picturing like the big like command ship, for some reason I was picturing it as like this futuristic looking ball. The ship was just a ball in my mind.
It's the Death Star. Abby, you were picturing the Death Star.
It did. It looked like a silver Death Star in my head for some reason, and I don't know why.
Well, you know, it's okay. Again, our imaginations here are just influenced by the things that we have seen growing up. So it's fine. It's the Death Star.
I like how you brought Star Wars and Star Trek. And I'm like, wow, my mind went to Firefly because I was thinking of like, you know, the Firefly class all coupled together. So we're on the outer rim. Well, not outer rim. That's more like Star Wars, but on the outer planets, and it's dusty and it's kind of old westy. So we got, you know, our nice brown coast coming in, you know, got to fight against the whatever inner alliance core planets. I can't remember what the, you know, so I went Firefly and I gave everyone Firefly-esque characterization in my head.
Nice. Their home planet was definitely one of those outer rim dusty desert planets. Oh. That's exactly how it looked in my head.
You know which one I thought of? The episode where Jane is hailed as the hero and that mud planet.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. See, I've only seen like one episode of Firefly in my life. I know.
Your assignment after this, you need to binge watch tonight. Okay.
Okay.
It's only one season. You can binge watch it in a night.
Yeah. Oh, but then you got to watch the two. And then you got to be really sad about the movie. The movie makes me have feelings. Lanes. Oh man.
The movie. Oh my gosh. The movie.
Okay.
Anyway.
It makes you have feelings. Okay. All right. That's my assignment. I will watch that. Is Firefly the one? Is Nathan Fillion in that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. All right. Yep. More motivation for me to watch it because I love him.
Not Nathan Fillion too. Not yes.
Oh, that's even better. Okay. Yep, that's even better. Okay. Anyways, back to Bonnie and Clyde and Shane and Ava. So I went the Star Wars route and pictured their home planet more like Tatooine, desert planet, you know. So it's okay. So with Bonnie and Clyde, okay, after they got ambushed and killed, right? Before the police moved the car and their bodies, like all these people were coming to the site and like these huge crowds gathered. People, now I didn't know this happened, but people were like went up to the car and like cut off like locks of Bonnie's hair, and they tried to like take part some of their clothes, like all these things. They have like souvenirs of Bonnie and Clyde. Abby looks like totally disgusted or shocked or whatever right now.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. It's just like, I can't imagine having any famous person, whether they were good or bad, gunned down in my hometown and going, I'm going to go take a walk and see if I can't get a lock of their hair or cut some clothes off that corpse. Like, I'm sorry, what?
People were so obsessed with them, you know, like, well, actually thinking about it in general, okay, like all these gangsters from like the 20s and the 30s, people were really obsessed with them. That's why there's so much stuff about them. John Dillinger too. I mean, it's crazy because they were gangsters, but they also just had this like air about them, and they became so well known for all the things that they did. People were just so fascinated by them. Still, not that it justifies going to their dead, bloodied bodies and cutting off hair and whatever, but you know.
but you know what that makes me think of? So the band BTS has that kind of notoriety and that kind of fandom.
Which is
that there would be crazy fans who would be cutting off locks of their hair from their corpses.
I believe that. Totally. I could see that.
Yeah. So I know there are people who would do that, but just like, I'm not one of them. Thank you.
No, me either. Now, if Johnny Depp were to like die near me, if something were to happen, I might do that with him, but no, I'm just kidding. I only said that because Johnny Depp plays John Dillinger. He plays John Dillinger in Public Enemies. So anyways, he popped into my head. Okay. So all the crowds gathered, right? So when Shane and Ava get killed and the Opians tow their ship back to their base, the same thing kind of happens, but it happens like at the base before their bodies are taken out of the spaceship. Like all the soldiers and everybody are coming and like staring at them and looking and, you know, trying to get things. So that happened to them too. But then here's the thing. So I thought this was crazy too, because when Bonnie and Clyde were killed, the police towed their car with their bodies inside. Like, why didn't you take the bodies out and do something with the bodies and then tow the car?
Good question. Why didn't they? It was also the 1920s, and I guess definitely a very, right, 30s, 20s.
30s? It was both, but he escaped from prison in 1930. So I think when they were killed was the 30s.
Yeah. So, I mean, and like, if you remember too, we're kind of coming out of the Victorian era where it was very common if a beloved member of your family passed away, you would bottle your tears or you would put their hair, you know, their hair in a locket around your neck so you can keep them with you. So, I mean, that's not very far removed. That's still a generation right behind them. That's your parents' generation. So it kind of makes sense that in a very morbid, terrifying way that people want to come memorialize like Bonnie and Clyde's killing and doing that. And then that parallel within Made of Stars too. Yeah. I mean, this is kind of terrible. Like, it's a spectacle.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if the reason they towed the car with the bodies inside was because somebody looked at it and went, why pull the corpses out and we can just take it all at once? Like,
right.
Rather than getting like an ambulance or whatever out here to get the bodies, just tow the one vehicle that's already got them inside.
It probably was just easier. Let's face it. Because, yeah, it probably was just a lot easier, more convenient that way. But then we see like the same thing happens with Ava and Shane. Their whole ship with their dead bodies is brought to Opia with them inside it. And then, so like, the crowd that gathers on Opia where their ship is, like, looks inside the ship, but they don't take stuff. But Cyrus is the one who takes something. So how, you know, people were trying to get locks of hair and stuff. Cyrus is the one who takes something, which he thinks is like, he doesn't know what it is. It turns out that it's like a thumb drive, which is actually like Ava's diary, which I thought was really interesting. And then I found out that it's because Bonnie kept a diary as well. So she chronicled all the things. And then Ava, we find at the end, has her diary too, which I really liked having Ava's diary when Cyrus finds it and like hearing, you know, reading her entries and what she said. And because it gave like more of an insight into what she was going through. And we really saw a lot of like what Mo mentioned earlier about how, you know, she really wanted to get out of that town where she lived and to escape and get away. And it actually, some of the research that it talked about how Bonnie wanted the same thing. She wanted that. So, you know, she wanted to get out of where she was. So I liked the diary inclusion and kind of getting that insight into Ava. What did you guys think about the diary?
I think, honestly, like I like the connection to the real life Bonnie and Clyde, but at the same time, it felt a little thrown in there at the end. Because it's not like you ever have Ava reference it herself or see her like going off to record anything. Like, so like the diary's at the end and you're like, she had a diary? Like, it just felt kind of like tossed in at the end. Yeah. Even if it wasn't meant that way, you know? I would have enjoyed it more if there'd been at least like one reference to Ava somehow like going off to record. Like, you didn't have to tell me what she recorded because obviously we saw it all at the end. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
See, and I was thinking the same thing, Abby. I kind of wished, if you think about, the Psy Seer, is it, or Red Rising? Maybe I think Psy, I'm getting them mixed up in my head. But like you get those tidbits from like the religious learning between each book or each book. Wow. Each chapter. And I kind of wish that had happened. And even it hadn't been like explicitly told that it was Ava in the beginning, but you know, it's had those little snippets that could have led into the chapters and you'd be like, oh, and then at the end, you're like, oh, otherwise, like I said, I was kind of like, oh, well. Okay, thank you. Thanks for the info.
Yeah, because I mean, it's just like her, it's kind of what we suspected about her already and just how she feels about living on Nakara and in West Rama and wanting to get out. So it's not like, it wasn't like extra pertinent information, you know, like it wasn't key important things that like we needed to know. It was just kind of like, this is how Ava was feeling on these given days, like before she met Shane and then she meets him. And then this is how she feels while they're doing their crime spree type thing. So yeah, I see what you guys mean.
Yeah. And like when Cyrus started watching the entries, I was expecting some sort of big bomb at the end, you know, like,
yeah,
I was expecting more to it. Like, a true purpose for reading these entries and like the last entry would be some big revelation about something. It just ended and I was like, oh, okay. That was nice information, I guess. Okay.
I don't know. I guess it's just, you know, just insight into what Ava was more like thinking and feeling and kind of her experience. And really, again, I'm sure the author put it in there for that connection because Bonnie kept a diary.
Well, and I agree with Mo. Like I like the connection to Bonnie's real life diary, but I think it probably could have been added in more fluidly to the story.
Yeah. Like it
rather than just kind of stuff there at the end.
It would have been cool if it had been done like maybe because she did the flashbacks. So maybe like if it had kind of been coupled with the flashbacks a little bit, like, you know, we see when they meet and then maybe, you know, Ava has like a diary entry or, you know, like Mo said, a little entry from her diary, like in between the chapters or something.
Right.
So it'd been like really cool. But no.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, oh, it's a YA novel. This stuff just manifests magically sometimes. So
it does. All right. So Ava and Shane. Okay. So Bonnie and Clyde robbed because they robbed, but Ava and murdered people. But Ava and Shane have a purpose. Like we said, they're like Robin Hood. So their families live in West Rama. On the planet of Nakara. That's what I'm going to go with for the pronunciation until I hear otherwise. But
no, so that's like, how they pronounced it.
Okay, good. So Nakara has this like protective dome that most of the civilization lives underneath, which helps them stay warm because Nakara is a freezing cold planet. So, but in West Rama, where Shane and Ava's families are from, they live outside of that protective dome. So it's harder for them because it's cold. They don't. And then what happened was like the planet got its income from these rich axiom deposits that are below the surface. And then the Opians found out about them and they came and were like, we're taking over because we need the axiom for fuel. So we're going to make a deal with you where we mine and get some of your axiom and we'll supply you with like food and supplies and all the things. Right. But of course, this backfires because General Noth gets greedy and she wants more axiom. And so then she threatens the leader, Cordova, and says like, I'm going to level your city. If you don't let me get axiom from somewhere else, I'll just take all of you down. And so then Cordova's like, okay, go, you can have the desert, like mine the axiom from the desert, which is West Rama, which is outside of the dome, which is where Shane and Ava's families are. So then of course, when they find out about this, like this is their motivation because they want to, protect their families. So they rob the Opian ships in order to get the supply. So I love this. Like they go in, they attack most of the ships though. They don't. So Bonnie and Clyde murdered like a ridiculous amount of people, but Shane and Ava like murder people, but it's really only because like, if somebody got in their way and was firing at them and like they had to, you know, is more out of self-defense because.
And I would say like jumping into that, I feel like Bonnie and Clyde was a little bit more like random, like, oh, we're really going to kill you versus Shane and Ava were very intentional that are you military? You got a gun. I got a gun. Okay. It's time to shoot us out versus like they left most people alone because yeah, I mean, even Ava reflected a lot on the killings kind of haunting her.
Right.
And she's like, no, even though she acted calm and collected, she was still like, oh, I don't really want to do this.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
I mean, who wants to kill people? Nobody. Unless something's wrong.
Nope. Yes. I hope not.
Okay. Yep. But like most of the ships that Ava and Shane hit and robbed the supplies from were just supply ships and didn't even have like a crew, you know, like they had maybe somebody like a pilot flying the ship, but they didn't really have a crew, a full crew in them. So they could get in, steal the stuff. And then didn't they destroy, they destroyed the ships too, right? Like to prevent them, the Opians from coming in. Oh, because they wanted to prevent Noth from sending her ships in to West Rama and taking over also. So they were like destroying ships and stealing the supplies at the same time. You know what I thought was really funny was the fact that General Noth, like this whole time, for most of it, until like Cyrus kind of figures things out, she thinks that it's like a huge group of people. Like they all think it's this huge group of people when really it's like five people. That's it, destroying everything. Cause she just can't comprehend. And like the Opians can't comprehend how like all of that would be happening without it being a really large group. And then it's not.
I didn't realize that she didn't realize at first. Like, I thought she was just telling everybody, oh, it's this huge group of people. I thought she knew it was a small group of people. And she was just like trying to act like it was some big group of people to make herself look better. And then I realized eventually that she actually didn't know. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
I thought it was hilarious because she's like this big, you know, general in charge of all the things and going after them. And she has no clue that it's like five people. And that's it.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Five teenagers, no less.
Right? Right? Not even just adults, five teenagers. So, and.
They're getting it done.
Right?
They kind of terrifying. Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. If I was ever in charge of something, And I heard that there was a group of teenagers that was like forming some sort of rebellion against me. I'd be like, what dystopian YA novel am I in? And what did I do wrong that I'm the bad guy here?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. It's either a YA dystopian novel that you're in, or you're in Les Miserables, because it was also a group of teenagers from Les Miserables who started an uprising. So either way, I mean, Les Mis is almost like a dystopian novel in itself, you know? Anyways. But this is actually like another, you know, the Bonnie and Clyde thing, because most people just talk about Bonnie and Clyde themselves, but they had a gang. They had other people who did stuff with them too. Like Shane and Ava end up with Jared and then a couple other people who got all's names I don't remember, but it's because clearly they made a huge impression on me, right?
Right.
I was like, okay, these other characters are there. Like, I liked Jared because Jared we get from the beginning, whereas like the other two, there was a girl and a guy, right? The other two we get like partway through the story, and I just didn't feel really connected to them at all. So I was kind of like, whatever. Like, and even Cyrus, when Cyrus's like best friend gets killed, it was also kind of like, for me, because she's his best friend and we see her, but in the same way, like I just didn't really feel connected to her at all. Like I felt more invested in Lark because Cyrus and Lark kind of have a thing going, kind of. It's a start of something, it seems like, but they're not really together. So I don't know. Like I wasn't super invested in the other people in Shane and Ava's gang. I don't know. How about you guys?
Kind of, but everyone else, I was like, I didn't get to know you. I don't care about you. Oh, well, goodbye. You're dead or you're captured, whatever, you know?
Yeah. I did like Cornelia. Cause like I got a little bit invested in her and she was the only side character that I got even a little bit invested in. Cause all of the people that Shane and Ava were working with, I literally forgot their names.
Yeah.
Like Cyrus went to rescue the two surviving ones at the end. And I went, oh yeah, you guys are still alive, aren't you?
Yeah. I did the same thing because they didn't really, I was like, okay, they're there, but they're not the focus, you know, they help them, but they're not really the main focus of the story. And you don't really feel very much for them. So it's like, yeah, when they die or they're gone and they get captured and oh, well, like I'm more focused on Shane and Ava. Tell me what's happening here with Bonnie and Clyde, you know? So. Right.
Well, and at the end when Cyrus goes to rescue them, I was like, oh yeah, they're still alive. Well, that was nice that he remembered them because I sure didn't.
Yeah.
It happens to the best of us. You know, it just is what it is. No.
Like, I'm not going to lie. I re-listened to the last chapter this evening to just, like, refresh my memory about how everything ended. And he got to the part where he was going into the prison. I'm like, oh, yeah, he does that, doesn't he? Like, whoops. Yeah. I was not invested in Ava and Shane's gang.
No. I mean, I like Jared, like I said, because he was there like the whole time. But the rest of them, I was like, I don't know. So
yeah, I wish we had more of Jared's backstory, just a little, you know, because you get the hint that, you know, he was in the military. And then I don't remember anything else about him because it was overshadowed. But, you know, we focused on Ava and Shane and Cyrus and Blake. And crap, Cornelia a little bit, but everything else was just like, it's kind of useless. Just a little bit more of you, Jared, just a hint.
Yeah.
And I feel like the other members besides Jared just kind of manifested out of nowhere. Like we didn't get to see them join.
Yeah.
We didn't get to meet them. They were just suddenly there. And you're like, who are these randoms? Like, they're actually with you guys? Like, when did this happen? Off screen, apparently.
It did. It happened in between. Like, we get that part 1, part 2, part 3. And everyone who was, like, new showed up in part 2. And you're like, oh, hello. And then you're like, mm-hmm. oh, great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was weird. Which, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Bonnie and Clyde were just Bonnie and Clyde for a little while and then ended up with a gang. But then at the end, we're kind of just Bonnie and Clyde again. So I don't know.
And it was kind of like, what was the purpose of the gang other than Bonnie and Clyde actually had a gang? So
yeah, that's what it was. That just like the diary. Yeah. That was the purpose. Yeah. It's just another one of those, you know, connections to put into the story. So I did. So, mm-hmm. okay. So Cyrus, going back to Star Wars, for me, Cyrus was kind of like Finn in episodes. Hold on. 7, 8, and 9. I had to think about it for a second. Like I had to count in my head. 4, 5, and 6 are the originals. 7, 8, and 9 are the newer ones. So he's like Finn in episodes 7, 8, and 9, because Finn is a stormtrooper who ends up getting a conscience, you know, and he's like, I can't do this anymore. And Cyrus works for the Opians. And while he doesn't completely go to the other side, like Finn does, he, you know, he has his couple of run-ins with Ava first, like when he gets his like ID badge stolen and Lark gets his weapon stolen from him because she steals them. And then he ends up on their cruiser. And then she, you know, Ava's like, oh, wait, I can use him for information. So he, you know, and then he like figures out what General Noth is kind of doing. And so he wants to help Ava and Shane, but he doesn't go fully to the other side, you know, but he just reminded me of Finn from Star Wars a little bit in that way. I don't know.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. God, I don't watch the new trilogy enough to agree or disagree with that. I like your analogy though. Now maybe I'm going to go watch the new trilogy. I don't know. I really, really love Mandalorian. I really enjoy, like, we watched all of Star Wars Rebels again. So what I was thinking, like, when you, I read your notes, obviously, before we came here, and I was like, I'm like, okay, Finn, yeah. I was thinking a little bit, did you watch Star Wars Rebels at all?
That's an animated one?
It's an animated one. It's like Clone Wars, except it's for a little bit older. So Clone Wars, I would say, is like grade school, and I would say Rebels is more middle school. In so, that one,
I think I've seen like a few episodes, but not all of it, because my son has watched some of it, but not all of it. Okay. So I haven't seen all of it, but
okay. So when I think Rebels, I'm thinking of there's Hera, who's the pilot. Mm-hmm. There's Kanan, who is the he's like a Jedi, he's a rebel Jedi, and then of course we have kind of our younger characters, which would be, oh shoot, I have a figure of her up here and I can't remember her name, but she's from the Mandal. Yeah, so I can definitely see that, like they are very Bonnie and Clyde-esque, but they are definitely mm-hmm. kind of rebels in space, kind of like Shane and Ava.
Yes. Okay. So now that you're saying this and saying their names, I know exactly what you're talking about, and I remember now. I have seen more of it than I thought I had. I remember it now. Yeah, no, I would totally agree with that. I agree. They are like that. They're like the, you know, this like band of rebels coming together to try and put things right in their own mm-hmm. way. So Cyrus just kind of gets confused and he's like stuck in the middle and doesn't know what's what. And then he's got Lark, who like, Lark is kind of stuck in the middle too. I mean, well, okay. Lark doesn't know what's going on with General Noth and that she's like trying to orchestrate all this stuff and take over and whatnot. But, you know, he just knows that like, he loves Cyrus, right? Like he's got these feelings for Cyrus. He's like this little puppy dog, actually. Lark was kind of like a little puppy dog for Cyrus, you know, like following Cyrus around. You know, but he just wants what's best for Cyrus. And so, I don't know. He was really sweet. I did like Lark a lot. I don't even know where I was going with the end of that statement.
Okay. Tangents are just a very exciting place to go and see where they lead you.
Sometimes they lead somewhere great. And other times, it just kind of ends. Oh my gosh. Okay. So Cyrus, because I was thinking about this when Abby said that she went back and listened to the last chapter again to see how it all ended. And so I'm looking at it. I forgot too that Cyrus gave Clara the necklace, Ava's necklace, which has the thumb drive on it.
Oh.
To help her. And what's interesting to me too is in this scene, now I got to find it again. Oh, okay. So she's talking to Cyrus and she says to Cyrus, you know, Cyrus tries to say that, like, he tries to apologize because he kind of like turns them in and is like, they'll be here because they'll go back to their home planet to check in with their families. So then the Opians know where they're going to be so that they can ambush them. But, you know, he tries to apologize to Jared and Clara, but you know, all he can say is like, I'm sorry, you know, I'll explain everything. I'll try to, you know, do what I can. And then, you know, she tells him, well, you didn't give them a chance to surrender. And Cyrus is like, what? And she's like, and she says, no, I'm telling you, you didn't give them a chance because he would never have let her go down with him like that. That was always the line that he would never do that. And I think that's interesting. Like, I actually really liked that she put that in there and had Clara say that, because in, you know, reading about Bonnie and Clyde, that's how it was for them. Like, they were just driving down the road and the police just totally came out and ambushed them and just fired until they were dead. You know what I mean? Like, there was no,
yeah.
Like there was no stopping the car, no chance to give, they didn't give them any chance at all to surrender and like take them to prison. You know, like they could have put a blockade in the road with their police cars and stopped them and arrested them, but they didn't. They just sat there and waited and then shot them. So that was interesting to me. Sometimes like I wonder about the way that things are done. And maybe it was because they had tried to catch Bonnie and Clyde, like in a, I guess, quote unquote, traditional way, you know, and arrest them and it didn't work. And so maybe they felt like this was their only option. But it just also, to me, kind of seemed very like harsh, you know, like we're not going to give you any chance to surrender. We are just going to kill you and ambush you and put 112 bullet holes in your car and kill you till you're all bloody.
But yes, I agree. It was kind of like, oh God, this is kind of traumatizing.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a little. I think I watched like, I remember watching one of the, there's more than one. I remember watching one of the Bonnie and Clyde movies and feeling like traumatized at the end when they die like that. It's hard to watch because you're just like you understand, but at the same time, it's just traumatic watching them not even get the chance to surrender and just be killed. And then I felt the same way when I was reading this book and Shane and Ava are in their ship and they're just trying to go and visit their families one more time. And then all of a sudden these Opian starships come out and then just boom, and they're dead, you know?
And see, I feel like in the book, it made more sense because they're almost in a war environment, you know, like mm-hmm. there's, I don't want to say like more is forgiven or war is more brutal for sure. Mm-hmm. And I can definitely have more understanding of how it happened in Made of Stars versus Bonnie and Clyde historical event where you're just like, okay.
Right?
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It did make sense. And then again, you know, because it's sci-fi as well, that's kind of how things happen in sci-fi. You know, mm-hmm. like we surround the enemy in the ship and then blow them up. So
yeah. Well,
in this case, yeah. they didn't get blown up. The fire went through their window and cracked and did it. And it killed them that way. But it's fine.
It's fine. It's fine. Yes.
It's just how it works. So yeah. But I don't know. I liked the book overall. I did enjoy that it was sci-fi. I thought that made it was a really great setting for this story, for like a Bonnie and Clyde story. I remember thinking, like after I read the description and I got the arc in the mail, I remember thinking, okay, this is either going to go really well or I'm going to hate it. So,
because I definitely did not hate it. I thought it was a very, I love the writing. The writing I thought was very easy to digest. It went very quickly for the most part. There were some places where it deviated. You're like, okay, are we going to get going with the plot? But, you know, it kind of has some introspective crap happen, I'm sure, at some point. But yeah.
Yeah, it did. But I did end up really enjoying it a lot. I think it was a fun combination and a great way to kind of retell their story, you know? I think when you're thinking about introducing material like this, you know, and trying to tell a historical event to a newer, you know, younger group of people who didn't live through it or didn't necessarily learn about it in school, you have to kind of get creative with it like this. And so I think this was like a really great creative twist on it. There's a TV show, a children's TV show on Netflix that's called Beat Bugs, like B-E-A-T, Beat Bugs. And it's really cute and it's fun because what it does is it's just a cute little TV show about a group of bugs who are friends and live in the backyard of this little girl's house. And they go on all these different adventures as bugs. And it's cute. But what it does is it has music in it. And it's all the music of the Beatles, which is why.
Oh.
Yeah. So I was reading about it because I was like, oh, this is really cool. And the creator of the show said that he wanted to introduce the Beatles, the music of the Beatles, to a whole new generation. And so this was how he decided to do it. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. And I have my kids watch it. And they now like love the Beatles and will sing Beatles songs all the time, which of course I love. But, you know, it's like the same type of thing where you have to, sometimes you got to find like a new or creative way to introduce things like this to this, you know, current generation, because it's definitely different than when we were growing up. That's for sure. So,
I mean, I was listening to the radio and God forbid you actually listen to radio and Come Together came on by the Beatles, and I was just like, man, I really like almost all their entire albums. Doesn't matter if it was their early stuff or their later stuff, but I was like, I need to pull out Abbey Road and get out the White Album and start busting out some Beatles and enrich my children's lives, because I mean, granted, right now my husband and I have done very well forcing introducing our children to Foo Fighters and Fall Out Boy and all sorts of good stuff.
Nice.
I know.
Good choices, Mo. Good choices. I love that.
It's been a group effort in this household. So yes,
we do that as well, but we, it's very eclectic over here. Like my son, my oldest, so they both love the Beatles, but we also have a love for Michael Jackson. As well as, like, we've gone back, like my oldest loves the Bee Gees, and it's hilarious. And like ABBA and all the things. So, you know,
how can you not like ABBA? Like, that's like classic. You got to go to, and you got to start busting out Dancing Queen.
Right? Seriously. And there's an entire Broadway musical centered around all of their music. And it's fantastic.
I absolutely love musicals like that. I'm like, thank you. But all I love biopic ones, like the Donna Summers, Beautiful, I believe it's called. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Hands down, see that one. And Donna Summers was a different one. Beautiful was the Carole King one.
Right.
Got it. But Donna Summers was really good too. I loved hers.
Okay. I didn't see that one. I saw American Idiot, which is Green Day. All Green Day music. And then there's one that's all Alanis Morissette music, which I've not seen.
Yeah, but there's Little Pill. I know. I want tickets to that one so bad. Yes.
Yeah. So, So that's really cool. Anyways. So,
welcome to the tangents.
It was happy to help. It was fun. Thank you. Anyway, so Made of Stars, super fun book. Really enjoyed it. And in case y'all are listening and like Boy, Mo and Leah, you are really monopolizing things and not letting Abby talk at all. We kind of lost Abby partway through. She may have had to go take care of some children. That's my guess. Because she kind of just...
Right. I got a message called, "Baby's may not return." I said, "Oh, well, that happens to all of us."
It's fine. So Mo and I will just wrap things up here. And but I'm glad that Abby was able to come on also. So yeah, but so great book overall. I definitely recommend it, especially if you like sci-fi, you know, and you like learning about Bonnie and Clyde. I mean, it's great. It's a fun, even if you don't know who Bonnie and Clyde are, it's still a really good story on its own without that. It's just, if you know who they are, it helps enrich the story because then you can make all of those connections and see all of the parallels and whatnot, but it's still a good book. I would recommend it. I enjoyed it. So any final thoughts, Mo?
I definitely would say this would be a hands down great novel to throw at a high schooler. I think they would find some real enjoyment out of it. Even if, I would love to see an English or history teacher be like, find an alternate take on a history event and find a book that goes with it. Wouldn't it be a fun genre to do a book report on?
Yes, I would love that.
Right? Like, I think that could be so much fun to do. Or I could be a super nerd and be like, don't give my teacher suggestions. And they're going to be like, no, don't do that. I did give it a 4 out of 5 stars. I don't know. I mean, I liked it, but it wasn't one that I'm like, oh, I'm going to come back and I'm going to read it again and again. So for me, a 5-star book is one that I'm going to come back. I'm going to give it to somebody as a present. But a 4-star, I will recommend to people. I'll be like, oh, I did read this book. I think you would like it. Versus like a 1 or 2-star that will never come back in my docket. And then a 3-star, maybe, maybe not. Depends on his mood. Oh, here comes Abby for a second.
Ooh.
Hello, Abby.
Welcome. Hi. We told everybody that you disappeared, but it's fine. So welcome back. We are just wrapping up and giving like our final thoughts. Mo just said that she gives the book like 4 out of 5 stars, which I would also agree with. It's really good. I highly recommend it. Is it a top notch? Like, I'm going to go back and read this over and over all the time. Maybe not. I probably will reread it at some point, but it's not like top tier. So I also would say 4 out of 5 stars. Abby, what are your final thoughts?
I actually ended up giving it 3.75 stars. And like I said in the beginning, that rating was brought down mostly because there were just points where I was like, I'm really not interested, but I'm going to keep going, you know?
Yeah.
And then it probably would have been a 4-star at that point, minus like if we hadn't gotten Ava's diary at the end that felt like it was shoehorned in for no reason, or if I had liked and gotten to connect with the gang members more, that might have brought it up to a full 4-star for me. But there were just like enough of those little things that I was like, it's not really a 4-star book for me. But it's also just, it's not a 3-star because I did enjoy it, but it's not quite a 4-star.
Makes sense. So, all right. Well, why don't you, one of you, tell everybody where they can follow your podcast on social media and listen to you guys and all that good stuff.
You can find our podcast anywhere you can find podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, all those fun places. We are on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and Twitter occasionally, not very often. But yeah, we are all over the place. You can find us pretty easily. And we also have email if you want to talk to us directly for any reason. And that's just thebooklifepodcast@gmail.com.
Awesome. And I will put links in the show notes today to all of that. So you guys can go and check out Abby and Mo's podcast, which is really fun. I have listened to it and been on it and I love it. So it's always fun. Thank you guys so much for being here, for chatting about this cool book with me. It was always fun having you on again. I like having you guys on. It's fun.
Thank you so much. We always like chatting with, you know, not just ourselves. So
it is nice, right? To chat with somebody else. I do have to say, when I do bonus episodes for my Patreon, where it ends up being, and I've done this a few times where like it's just me, it feels so weird because I'm just talking to myself. So always more fun with other people.
Not gonna lie, when Mo and I started the podcast, I specifically was like, do you want to do this with me? Because if you don't agree to do this with me, I can't do it because I can't do this on my own. I can't just talk to myself.
You should tell Leah what our first idea was that we were going to do together.
Oh, the cooking thing. Oh my God.
What was this? This is so much.
Our original idea was that we were going to cook things and record ourselves cooking things and send the videos back and forth to each other.
Oh, wow. That would have been complicated.
Well, and then of course we both realized, you realize that we don't like cook enough and like have the time to record ourselves cooking enough to do that on a regular basis, right? Like that's just, that sounds like way too much work.
Yep. That was our original idea of, wow, we want to talk to one another more and we're trapped because it's COVID. What do we do? Oh, we can do a cooking show. Uh-huh. Yeah, no.
Yeah, we almost did a cooking show.
Yeah, we did. You know what? We went on a non-facing book podcast. It's a much better option for us.
Yes. Much better, you guys. Okay, well, on that note, we're going to close out the show for today. So thank you again, guys, for being here. And as always, thank you, everybody, for listening. And we will chat again soon. Today's episode featured the book Made of Stars by Jenna Voris. Be sure to follow YA Book Chat on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you get your episodes as soon as they are available. Have you checked out the YA Book Chat Patreon yet? You should. There are plenty of great perks at every level. YA Book Chat was created by, is hosted, and edited by me, Leah Stuhler.